You're listening to KVCR News. I'm Alfredo Cruz. On Fridays, we speak with former Press Enterprise columnist and longtime KVCR contributor Cassie McDuff about some of the big stories going on around the Inland Empire. Good morning, Cassie.
Good morning, Alfredo.
Let's get started with the driver whose trash truck started a fatal fire that swept through a Kalamessa mobile home park. He's been charged with involuntary manslaughter.
Yeah, this was a tragic fire that started in October 2019. When the driver, his name is Antonio Ornelas Velasquez, he's now 38 years old, of Desert Hot Springs. He noticed that the load he was carrying was on fire. He was driving a trash truck for CR&R, a big trash collection company. He stopped next to a field of dry brush, and there were strong Santa Ana winds blowing, and the flames from the load were carried into that field and then swept into this mobile home park, where it just devastated the park and two of the residents there died. According to the criminal complaint filed by the Riverside County DA's office, two different people warned him not to dump the burning load upwind of the dry brush. One even told him to drive forward to a freeway overpass where he could dump it on cement. But he refused, and the fire took off very quickly, as I said, and it swept through the Villa Kalamessa Mobile Home Park. 74 structures burned. The fire quickly grew to 500 acres before it could be contained. And an 89-year-old woman and a 61-year-old woman were trapped in their homes and died in the fire.
Wow.
So his first court appearance isn't scheduled until June 15th. He was jailed very briefly and released on $75,000 bail this past weekend. He faces two counts of involuntary manslaughter in the two women's deaths, one count of setting fire to an inhabited dwelling, plus sentencing enhancements for causing great bodily injury to multiple people, burning multiple structures, and starting a fire during a declared emergency, the high winds that we talked about. And by the way, even though some of the mobile homes didn't burn, the park still hasn't reopened and it still lacks electricity. So people haven't been able to move back into their homes.
Wow. Sad story. Hope it gets resolved. Let's move on. The financial outlook for San Bernardino, which declared bankruptcy almost a decade ago, has improved, but another Inland Empire city isn't so lucky. What's going on?
Well, San Bernardino emerged from bankruptcy in 2017, but each year since then has been marked by austerity measures, cutting staffing, seeking concessions from employee unions, that sort of thing. So this is kind of unexpected good news, and it's mostly because the voters approved a 1 cent sales tax increase in November, and so the revenue has come in higher than predicted. And also, the city didn't take as big of a revenue hit as expected from the coronavirus pandemic, so that's good news, too. Plus, there was federal relief funding that helped. In the earliest round of relief funding, cities and counties got a little bit of money to help them through, and so that did help San Bernardino. The bottom line is about $22 million, more than estimated last year, will pile up in city revenue by this June 30th, at the end of the current fiscal year. And that will enable the city to restore its rainy day fund, as well as address some pressing issues and maybe bring back some laid off staff.
And there's also some other financial news in other cities happening as well, right?
Yeah, Eastvale is facing a reckoning with a special election coming up in just a couple of weeks. So Eastvale incorporated just 10 years ago. It became a city. And at that time, a year later, it presented voters with a proposed spending cap. It's called a GAN limit. Every city has one. But these new cities had to estimate what their revenue would be and to set a spending limit based on that. Well, Eastvale has had a lot of growth because of population growth and revenue growth. It has done much better than expected. And so it's now having to ask voters in this special election to raise that limit. The head of the Howard Jarvis Taxpayer Association said this is very rare. It doesn't happen often. So the city is in a very special position. The difficult part is with a special election, a lot of voters aren't even aware that there is a special election. And those that are, some of them are under the impression this is about approving a tax increase. And so right now, the hard part is getting the word out that this is not about increasing people's taxes, but just about raising that spending limit so the city can use all the revenue that's coming in.
Let's wrap it up with this one. Republican Assemblywoman Rosalisi Ochoa-Bogue of Yucaipa has introduced a bill requiring a 3-day waiting period for coronavirus restrictions to go into effect.
Yeah, there's been a lot of frustration with the changing restrictions due to the coronavirus, particularly the closure of restaurants, first allowing outdoor dining, then shutting that down, and then opening it up again. And so the state senator, she wants businesses to have 72 hours notice of these changes before the new restrictions are put in place. She just says it's a better idea to communicate well and give the businesses a chance to adjust. The most recent shutdown was announced by Governor Newsom on December 3rd and went into effect at 11:59 p.m. December 6th. So seemingly it would have complied with that 72-hour notice. But if Ochoa-Bogue's bill passes and is signed by the governor, it would only be in effect as long as the state's declared COVID-19 emergency. And so when that's over, this law would go away.
Do we have a feel for how it's faring?
I haven't heard any of the discussion in Sacramento. It's kind of surprising. Generally, Republicans are not in favor of putting more bureaucracy in place, but we'll see what kind of discussion this gets once there's a hearing.
Okay, great. Sounds like we'll have an update soon. All right. Thank you, Cassie. It's always great speaking with you.
Thank you, Alfredo.
Longtime journalist Cassie McDuff helps us out regularly on our Friday morning news wrap, and these reports are posted online at kvcrnews.org. This report is made possible with the support of Southern California News Group, publisher of the Press Enterprise, San Bernardino Sun, Inland Valley Daily Bulletin, and other Southern California newspapers. I'm Alfredo Cruz, KVCR News.